Well, we began a series last weekend, a new series called The Gospel, Share the Message. We live in a world of messages, a world of messaging, right? I mean, we're bombarded with it on a day in and day out basis in our lives, all sorts of messages. But as followers of Jesus Christ, you and I have a message that is the greatest message on the face of the earth, and we have been called to share the message. I don't know about you, but I am so thankful that somebody shared the gospel with me. Aren't you thankful that somebody shared? If you are thankful that somebody shared the gospel with you, say amen this morning. Isn't it wonderful that somebody took the time to share with you the life-changing message of the gospel? Well, you and I have been called as followers of Jesus Christ to share the gospel message. And so we've taken an entire month to really focus as a church on sharing the message, all of us together, where we live, sharing the message. And we gave you last weekend, as Travis began the series, we gave you two goals. And I want to put those goals back up on the screen. Here are our goals from this series. Number one, to challenge the people of hope to share the gospel with at least one non-believer before the end of 2009. We're praying that through this series, every one of us would be challenged to share the gospel message with at least one person between now and the end of this year. Can you imagine what could happen if we would all be faithful to do that? To take the gospel and share it with somebody that doesn't know Jesus Christ between now and the... Man, there are people today that are hurting. They're in such need. They're open to truth like never before. They're looking for meaning, direction, and purpose in their life. And we've been entrusted with the message that can radically change people's lives. What if over 2,000 people between now and the end of this year, every one of us shared the gospel with at least one person that doesn't know Jesus? The second reason we're doing this series, the second goal, is to equip the people of hope to share the gospel on a regular basis. It isn't just a program to help us all share the gospel once between now and the end of the year, but for the rest of our lives to be better equipped to share the gospel. And you might say, Pastor, why are we making such a big deal out of this? Why are we taking a whole month as a church and devoted to really focused on sharing the gospel personally in our everyday lives? Well, do you realize the impact that these simple goals could have on the city of Las Vegas? Let me give you an example. We have, on average, over 2,000, somewhere between 2,000 and 2,200 people that attend our church at least once every month and would say, hey, Hope Baptist Church, that's my church home. That's my spiritual family. That's where I connect. You realize if over 2,000 people next year, if out of that number, if only, now listen, if only 10% of us got passionate about sharing the gospel. If just 10% of the people that call Hope home got passionate about sharing the gospel, and if those people just led one person to Christ every other month next year, just 10% of us got serious, and we each led one person to Christ every other month next year, do you realize that next year we could personally lead over 1,200 people to faith in Jesus Christ? 1,200 people who right now are in our city that do not know Jesus Christ, if they died today, would spend eternity separated from God. 1,200 people who could come to know Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior. And that's just if 10% of us got passionate about it. Can you imagine what if we all got passionate about it? If 2,000 people got serious about leading people to faith in Jesus Christ and sharing the gospel through their everyday lives, and next year every one of us began to lead somebody to Christ every other month, did you know that next year this church by itself could lead over 12,000 people to faith in Jesus Christ right here in Las Vegas? You see why this is a big deal? We have the gospel. The Bible says this treasure has been placed in earthen vessels, and we live in a city that is 95% lost. 95% of the people in Las Vegas do not know the gospel of Jesus Christ. And God's placed you and I here as missionaries, and He's put the message in us. And we live our lives with our mouths closed. That doesn't even count the people that we see come to Christ in our services on a weekly basis. We baptize between 120 and 220 people every year that come to faith in Jesus Christ. Some of them led to Christ by you, but many of them come to Christ in our services at Easter and Christmas Eve and through our weekly gatherings. Man, if we took the message, what could happen? That's what they did in the book of Acts. Last weekend, Travis introduced you to a verse I want to put back up on the screen, Acts chapter 1 and verse 8. Look what Jesus said to his disciples just before he ascended back to heaven. He said, "You'll receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you will be my witnesses." Say that word out loud. Witnesses. "You'll be my witnesses both in Jerusalem and in all Judea and Samaria and even to the remotest part of the earth." What's a witness? Well, the word witness here in the Greek language is a word that simply means one who gives competent testimony concerning that which he himself has seen, heard, or experienced. So let me put a definition of witnessing up on the screen. Witnessing is simply sharing the story of what God is doing in your life with other people. It's sharing the story of what God's doing in your life with other people. And the people in the book of Acts, man, they got serious. They wrapped their hearts around it. The people that Jesus was talking to, there was only about 120 of them. Did you know that within 6 months, those 120 people had led 100,000 people in Jerusalem to faith in Jesus Christ? I think they got serious. They wrapped their hearts around it. Can you imagine what would happen if in the next 6 months we led 100,000 people to faith? You don't talk about space problems. Man, we got some space problems, right? We've been called to share the message. And one of the ways we do this is by sharing the story of our own life-changing relationship with Jesus with others in our everyday life. Every one of us have a story. You know how everybody in Las Vegas has a story? Everybody's got a story in Las Vegas. Well, every follower of Jesus has got a story. Listen to what Rick Warren said in his great book, The Purpose-Driven Life. Look at it on the screen. "Many parts of your life mission are unique, but there's one part of your life mission that we all have in common. It's this. God wants you to tell other people about what's happened to you." Jesus said, "You shall be my witnesses." It's simply sharing your story with somebody else. One of the ways we share the message is by sharing our story. If you have your Bible, I want you to open it to John chapter 9. I know when some of you hear me say, turn to the Gospel of John, you think, oh my goodness, a blast from the past. If you've been a part of Hope for a long time, the first 5 years as a church family, we went verse by verse through the Gospel of John. It took us 5 years to go all the way through this Gospel together, but we just went verse by verse through this Gospel. And in the Gospel of John, there are some incredible life change stories. And in John 9, we find one of those stories. Jesus encounters a man, changes his life, and in John 9, we read the story of him sharing his story, and he does it 3 times in the verses that I want to read for you this morning. Now, before I read these verses, I'll go ahead and tell you, we're not going to be able to extract all the truth this morning. We're going to, in about the next 15 minutes, pull some truths out of these verses, and these verses that I'm going to read for you this morning, when we were going through it as a book study, I think we spent 4 weeks in the verses that I'm going to do in the next 15 minutes. So we're not going to cover it all, but listen to what he says in John 9, verse 1. "As he passed by, he saw a man blind from birth. And his disciples asked him, 'Rabbi, who sinned, this man or his parents, that he would be born blind?' And Jesus answered, 'It was neither that this man sinned nor his parents, but it was so that the works of God might be displayed in him.'" We're going to come back to that in a minute. "We must work the works of him who sent me as long as it is day. Night is coming when no one can work. While I'm in the world, I am the light of the world." When he had said this, he spat on the ground and made clay of the spittle and applied the clay to his eyes. Now stop right there for a minute. Look at me. Sometimes God does stuff in a way that you wouldn't expect, right? I mean, if I was going to heal a guy of blindness, this is not the methodology I would have come up with. I'm one of those people, I don't like to drink after anybody else. I don't double dip if we're sharing chips and dip. Man, the thought of spitting in somebody's eye just about makes me want to throw up. But the Bible says here that Jesus spit on the ground. He made clay out of it and he rubbed it in his eyes. Look at verse 7. And said to him, go wash in the pool of Siloam, which is translated sent. So he sent away, and so he went away and washed and came back seeing. Therefore, the neighbors and those who had previously saw him as a beggar were saying, is not this the one who used to sit and beg? Others were saying, this is him. Still others were saying, no, he's just like him. He kept saying, I'm the guy. So they were saying to him, well, how then were your eyes opened? He answered, the man who's called Jesus made clay, anointed my eyes, and he said to me, go to Siloam and wash. So I went away and I washed, and I received sight. They said to him, where is he? He said, I don't know. Verse 13, they brought to the Pharisees the man who was formerly blind. Now, it was a Sabbath on the day when Jesus made the clay and opened his eyes. Uh-oh, Jesus messing with the Sabbath rules. Verse 15, then the Pharisees also were asking him again now how he received his sight. And he said to them, he applied clay to my eyes, and I washed, and I see. Skip down to verse 24. So a second time, they called the man who had been blind and said to him, give glory to God. We know that this man is a sinner. He then answered, whether he is a sinner, I do not know. One thing I know, that though I was blind, now I see. Three insights from his story. Number one, his story was personal. It was personal. Notice they did not ask him, how are blind eyes opened? They asked him, how were your eyes opened? They wanted to hear his story. Let me say it to you on the screen. Look at this statement. His personal experience with Jesus gave him a platform to share with others. Have you ever wondered why God has allowed certain things to happen in your life? You imagine how many times this guy, I don't know how old he was, I don't know if he's 30, 40, but how many years, how many times he'd said, God, why me? Why do I have to be blind? Why is this circumstance in my life? But did you hear what Jesus said over in verse number 3? He said he's blind so that the works of God may be displayed in him. God had allowed these unique circumstances in this man's life because God was going to do something in this man's life in the middle of his unique circumstances that created a platform for him to share what had happened in his relationship with God, that opened doors for him to speak the truth about Jesus to people that he would have never, this man would have never stood before the Pharisees and had the opportunity to give a testimony, but because of his blindness, it created a platform for him to share with others. Listen, every one of us have things in our lives we can look back at and say, why me? God, why did this happen to me in my life? Why did I have this unique set of circumstances? But if we'll look at those through the lenses of God's glory, we'll understand that God has allowed those circumstances in our life because those circumstances create a point of connection and create a platform that enable us to share the gospel with people that we probably would never come into contact with any other way. Everything in our lives becomes a shared experience. Listen to the way Rick Warren said it. He said, shared stories build a relational bridge that Jesus can walk across from your heart to theirs. There are people that will relate to your story that will never relate to my story. There are people that will relate to my story that will never relate to your story. God allows each of us the uniquenesses of our own personal journey. He equips us and He shapes us and He crafts us into being the person that we are today. And all of those experiences from the past become an opportunity, become a platform to us to connect with other people, to share with them the difference Jesus has made in our lives. It was personal. Number two, his story was simple. It was simple. Did you hear what he said in verse 11? Jesus made clay, anointed my eyes, and said to me, go to Siloam and wash. So I went away, washed, and received my sight. Let me give it to you in three phrases. Here was his story. He said, I did. My life was changed. He said, go wash in the pool. I did. I went and washed. My life was changed. Though I was blind, now I see. Did you know that every one of us have a story that falls into those three categories? Every one of us. He said. There was a point in every one of our lives where we came to the place where God spoke to our heart and revealed to us that we were a sinner, that we'd sinned against God, and because of our sin, we're separated from a relationship with God, and that the only hope we had was the person of Jesus Christ and His forgiveness and His grace and what He did on the cross to bring me back into relationship with God. There was a point in my life when God spoke to my heart. Now, for every one of us, it's going to be different. For some of you, it was sitting in a worship service at Hope when God spoke to your heart. For some of you, it was sitting beside a bed with your parents as they shared with you the gospel. For some of you, you were in a rescue mission coming off the streets of drugs and alcohol, and God spoke to you. But every one of us that are followers of Jesus have a point in time when God spoke. He said, then I did. Every one of us have a moment when, in hearing the gospel, we heard God speak, and then we did what God said. We surrendered the control of our lives to the Lord Jesus Christ. We embraced His grace and forgiveness. For some people, it may look like walking down the aisle of a church. For some people, it may be pulling the car over on the side of the road, listening to someone on the radio. For some, it may be attending a Billy Graham crusade. There's all kinds of ways, but it's that moment of surrender. When I hear what God said, and I surrender the control of my life to Him. Number three, now my life was changed. He said, I did, my life was changed. I heard God speak into my life, man. God showed me that I was a sinner in need of Jesus, and I surrendered the control of my life to Him. And listen, I'm not all the man that I'm supposed to be, but thank God I'm not the man I used to be. I'm being changed. Amen. If you're here this morning and you got a testimony like that, say, glory. I'm not sure you mean it. He said, I did. My life's been changed. You hear the simplicity of that? Listen, there's no deep theology in that statement. There's no 3 points with a poem at the end. It's not a 30 to 45 minute discourse. Man, God said, I responded. My life's been changed. Listen. You don't have to have a seminary degree to be used of God. You just have to have a life that's been changed by His life. And you can be a witness. Number three, His story was powerful. His changed life gave power to His message. The life change that had taken place authentically. You see, they could debate His theology. They could argue and question His methodology. But one thing they couldn't deny. He used to be blind. Now He could see. Listen, you don't have to be able to answer all the questions. You notice how many questions they asked this guy he couldn't answer? Where is he? I don't know. Is he a sinner? I don't know. What do you know? I used to be blind. Now I can see. Listen, there's a whole lot in this book I can't answer. There's a lot of questions that this book raises that I don't know how to address. But let me tell you what I do know. I used to be blind. Now I can see. I used to be lost, and now I have a relationship with God. I used to have no meaning and purpose and value in my life, and now I have significance and a walk with God that gives me reason to get up every day. Listen, there's power in a testimony. There's power in a changed life. And every one of us that are followers of Jesus, listen, you don't have to be able to answer all the questions. You just have to keep telling them, listen, I used to be blind. Now I can see. There's power in that. That's why the world uses infomercials. Wouldn't be much to the infomercial if a guy weighing 350 pounds stood up and said, I've been on this diet for 6 months, hadn't lost a pound. But when that guy stands up and holds up a pair of pants that he could now fit in seven times, there's power in that, right? We go, hey, I might could lose weight on that. Man, when you simply sit down with somebody and tell them, man, my life used to be this, and I'm not perfect, but Jesus has changed my life. I don't have all the answers. I don't understand all the book of Revelation. All I know is I'm on the team that wins at the end, man. There's power in a testimony. God's given you a story. And it's a story that He wants you to share with others. Listen to what Robert Lewis said in his book, The Church of Irresistible Influence. Look at it on the screen. We do not, as many think, live in an age that despises belief. Rather, it is an age that wants to believe. Desperately so. Deeply disillusioned by the failure of human reason and logic, it is open to outside and even supernatural explanations. But it trusts nothing except what it can see and, more importantly, what it can experience. For the watching world, drowning in postmodernism, this is foundational. Not simply the word of truth, but the Word made flesh, a living proof, an irrefutable incarnation. Our lives so radically change that, listen, what we sing about on Sunday makes a difference on Monday. There's power in that. There's power. Well, I want to ask you a question this morning. What's your story? And I'm going to give you some homework. I hear the, ooh. I'm going to give you homework. In the seat pocket in front of you is a blank card that looks like this. I want everybody to grab it right now. Everybody, grab that card. Homework time at church. Hallelujah. I'm going to put three phrases up on the screen. And I want you to write those three phrases down equally spaced out on this card. Here's the first one. Before I met Jesus. Before I met Jesus. Second phrase. I met Jesus when... Third phrase, since I met Jesus. Now leave those up there so everybody can get those down. Here's your homework. Go home using those three statements as starters. Write your story. I want you to write your story. Before I met Jesus, I met Jesus when, since I met Jesus. And then what I want you to do, if you're in a small group, I'm asking every small group to take about 15 minutes this week and practice. I want you to pair up in twos. I want you to take your story, and I want you to share it back and forth with each other. If you're not in a small group, this is a good time to get in a small group. But if you're not in a small group, practice with your family. You say, my family aren't believers. Hey, you knocked off goal number one right there. Mission accomplished. And here's your end. Hey, I need to practice. Pastor told me I could. Y'all let me? Let me give you four guidelines in closing as you write your story. Number one, make it personal. Make it personal. Don't preach. Use words like I, me, my, and mine, not you. You need this, your law, you. No, I. Number two, make it short. Nobody's looking for a documentary. It's in the miniseries. You should be able to share your story in 3 to 5 minutes. Now, obviously, you're not going to be able to get into all the details. And there may be context where you can share a longer version. But listen, there are going to be opportunities God's going to put in your path where all you've got is 3 to 5 minutes. You need to be able to share your story in 3 to 5 minutes. Make it short. Take some practice. Number three, keep Christ central. Here's what I mean by that. Highlight what He has done, not what you used to do. Let me say that again. When you share your story, highlight what He has done, not what you used to do. Too many times somebody will share their story and they talk about all the years in sin, all the stuff we did, all the bad things I was involved in. Then I met Jesus and He's changed my life. Good night. Have a great evening. Hey, they already know about all that stuff. You need to give them some of that to build that relational connection. They need to know we're not perfect people. But they got that. They need to hear what they hadn't heard. Keep Him central. Number four, use the Word of God. Build some verses into your testimony. The Bible says the Word of God is powerful. It's living and active and sharper than any two-edged sword. And the Bible says of itself that the Word of God always accomplishes what He sent it to do. As I use the Word of God in my testimony, I'm dropping the seed of God's power in the Word into their life, and the Spirit of God can use that. Let me give you some verses that you can write down that you can put in your testimony. These are just some examples. You find your own, but John 3:16. That's a good verse to figure out how to put that in your testimony. Or Romans chapter 5, verse 8. But God demonstrates His own love toward us in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Romans chapter 6, verse 23. For the wages of sin is death. But the gift of God, the free gift of God's eternal life in Christ Jesus our Lord. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 17. Therefore, if any man's in Christ, he's a new creature. The old things have passed away. Behold, new things have come. There's a whole book full of verses like that. Find the ones that fit your story. Put some in your testimony. And then share it. All the Bible describes the lengths that God went to give you your story. Shame on us for not sharing it. Share your story. I know what some of you are thinking this morning. How do I start the conversation? I've known some of these people for years. How do I go now? I'll be embarrassed. Well, let me give you one last tip, all right? Here's the way to start the conversation. It's simple. I've never had anybody tell me no when I did this. Here's what you do. You go to them and you say, man, I need to ask you to forgive me. Forgive you for what? Man, we've been friends. I've known you your whole life. Yeah, I need you to forgive me. Why? Because I've never shared with you the greatest thing that's ever happened to me. Would you give me 3 minutes to tell you the greatest thing that's ever happened in my life? Let me tell you what your friend or your family member is going to say. Absolutely. This your friend? 3 minutes to tell you the greatest thing that's ever happened in my life. You may be surprised what happens next. Let's pray. Lord, you've given us a story. Give us the boldness to share it with others. God, give us the freedom. Give us the courage. And Lord, forgive us, God, that we have not shared it more. Lord, I had the opportunity this week twice on an airplane to share Christ with people sitting beside me. And Lord, forgive me for all the times I haven't done that. As you sit quietly before the Lord this morning, I want to ask you a couple of questions. And here's the first one. Do you have a story? Sometimes what happens in an experience like this, when you sit down, you take out that card and you start to write, you begin to look at it and go, I don't have a story. This morning, we're going to have some of our pastors and prayer volunteers standing at the front and the back of the building today along the side. And if God's spoken to you and you realize, hey, I don't have a story. I don't know Jesus, but I need to know him. We're going to stand and sing in just a moment. We invite you to slip out of your seat and go to one of these pastors or prayer volunteers and say to them, I need to meet Jesus today. And they'll show you from the Bible. They'll share their story with you and lead you to faith in Jesus Christ. Maybe you just need to pray about another burden in your life. That's why these pastors and prayer volunteers are here. You can go to any one of them and say, hey, I just need to pray. And they'll pray for you today. Second question I want to ask you is this. When's the last time you shared your story with somebody else? When's the last time? Here's the last question. How are you going to respond to what you've heard today? What are you going to do with it? God, speak to our hearts, change our lives. We love you. It's in Jesus' name we pray.